Good evening, everyone. My name is Courtney Gallagher. I am an associate and landscape architect with Morris and Ritchie Associates. We are the civil engineering and landscape architecture firm working with Tanyard MXD Investments LC, who's the developer of the subject property. As I mentioned before, the entirety of this meeting will be recorded and included on the Anne Arundel County Community Meeting website. I'm joined tonight by Steve Horn with Tanyard MXD Investments LC and Elm Street Development, who is developing the subject property. Tonight we are here specifically to discuss the Tanyard Commons project. I'll go through hopefully a very brief presentation, and then we'll have a question and answer session. This meeting is required per Anne Arundel County Subdivision Code Section 17-2-107, which specifically states that a community meeting must be held within the 6 months prior to the initial submittal of a sketch plan or a preliminary plan. The developer intends to submit a sketch plan for review later this month. The purpose of this meeting is to present the details of the proposed development, including the stormwater management design, and any requested modifications, and to give the community an opportunity to ask questions and make comments on the proposed development. Just to give you a little background about the project, we are currently at the very beginning of the development review process, and nothing has currently been submitted to the county for formal review. This is really the community's first opportunity to see this project and for us to make a presentation to you all. And that being the case, I'd like to just make it clear that this project is still really in the design development process. We are working towards finalizing our plans to be ready for that initial submittal. So many of the figures and quantities that I'll discuss this evening are preliminary and approximate and likely to change slightly, not significantly, before that final submittal is made to the county. But the intent of the proposed development is contained in these plans. Again, only minor adjustments are expected before that submittal. So I will begin with an overview of the existing conditions. So the Tanyard Commons project is located on Marley Neck Boulevard, which is shown here on the left side of the page, approximately 550 feet north of the intersection of Marley Neck Boulevard and Tanyard Springs Lane, which is the project is comprised of four total properties, including parcel 398, which is shown on tax map 5, and parcel 22, which is shown on tax map 10, parcel 24, both parcels 1 and 2, which are also shown on tax map 10. The property is essentially mostly rectangular with sort of a little flag at the top. Those four properties encompass a total of 109.4 acres. The property is bounded by Marley Neck Boulevard to the west, private residential and industrial development to the north, Sully Road here to the east, and Tanyard Springs development to the south. In addition, Green Acres Drive cuts through the northwest corner of the property, and Tanyard Springs Lane cuts through the southeast corner of the property. Tanyard Commons development is a privately proposed development, as I said, being developed by Tanyard MXD Investments LC. All of these properties are privately owned. The properties were recently rezoned to MXDN, which is a neighborhood mixed-use zone. That rezoning took place under the Region 3 region plan, which I believe was approved earlier this year. Properties are not located within the critical area, and they are currently undeveloped and predominantly wooded. There are a couple of very small pockets of unwooded areas on the site. There are no streams on the property, but there is a pretty substantial drainage area that drains to the property, which results in a floodplain being located here towards the center of the property, almost bifurcating the property, but not entirely. This floodplain connects to an existing platted floodplain that's within the Tanyard Springs subdivision. And that is a 100-year floodplain. In addition, there are 9 areas of non-tidal wetlands, which are shown with this sort of stipple hatch, that are located throughout the site, one of those areas overlapping that floodplain as well. All of the wetland, non-tidal wetland areas have a 25-foot wetland buffer associated with them. There are no steep slopes on the property. There are 65 specimen trees, which are trees over a certain diameter, trunk diameter. They are identified with a circle and a sort of tree canopy symbol here. There are 65 specimen trees on or directly adjacent to the subject property. The specimen trees are scattered throughout the site, with the largest cluster being located here in the northwest corner of the site. There is a very narrow sliver of highly erodible soils right along the frontage with Sully Road. There are records of historic sites in the vicinity of the property, but at this time, no historic resources have been identified on the subject property itself. The entirety of this site is located within an unprotected green infrastructure network. No rare, threatened, or endangered species have been identified on the property, and there are no bogs on or in the vicinity of the property. And all of these features have been field verified. So that concludes sort of the existing conditions of the site. So now I'll move on to the star of the show, the developed conditions. So this property is proposed to be developed with a mix of residential and retail or commercial uses. The residential portion of the project is proposed to be developed with townhomes. And the townhome units will be fee simple and located on individual lots. There will be a mix of front and rear load units ranging in width from 16 feet up to 24 feet wide and 3 to 4 stories tall. In the MXDN zone, all uses, residential or otherwise, are permitted to be a height of up to 96 feet tall. Not that we're proposing that, but that's what's permitted. This current plan that you see here includes a total of 836 townhouse units. The retail portion of the development is proposed here along Marley Neck Boulevard, a portion to the north of Green Acres Drive, and a portion to the south of Green Acres Drive. This retail development is currently proposed to include 2 restaurant pad sites, a daycare center, and then a strip retail center. These buildings are envisioned to be a maximum of 2 stories, again, permitted up to 96 feet. And right now, the retail is proposed at approximately 45,000 square feet total. There are no structures existing on the subject property, so there will be no demolition of any existing structures as part of this development. All of the roads within the development will be private. Private roads will be a minimum of 24 feet wide, and private alleys will be a minimum of 20 feet wide. The private roads will be located in access easements or private rights of way that will range in width from 26 feet up to 60 feet, and alleys will be located in access easements or private rights of way that could be between 22 and 30 feet minimum. All of the private roads will have a local road classification. The development techniques that were used to prepare this plan were neighborhood design, or traditional neighborhood design, which focuses on smaller lots, but larger green spaces, community green spaces, and retention of environmental areas throughout, as well as strong pedestrian connections from the individual units to those community green spaces. Green Acres Drive here is currently shown to remain in its current alignment. And that is unless that alignment is adjusted unless adjusted via modification approved by the county. Unless a realignment is approved by the county, it will remain as currently aligned. The only improvements to Green Acres Drive will be the potential entrances into the development. All of the private roads on site, unless adjusted by modifications, will be in accordance with the county's private road standards. Chaney Springs Lane is currently proposed to remain in its current alignment. Again, the only improvements anticipated are potential connection points into the proposed development. Access into the retail portions of the site are envisioned off of Marley Neck Boulevard, currently one entrance for each of the sort of two sub-retail areas. There's a potential connection opportunity as well off of Green Acres Drive into that retail development. In general, access into this development will be provided into the residential portion of the site, will be provided off of Green Acres Drive here, Tanyard Springs Lane here, and Sully Road here. All three of those access roads will be interconnected with the road network within the proposed development. The townhomes will require 2.5 parking spaces per unit, which based on 836 total units, results in a requirement of 2,090 total parking spaces. The 20-foot wide, 22-foot wide, and 24-foot wide rear load townhomes, as well as the 22-foot and 24-foot wide front load townhomes, will all have two-car garages with full-depth driveways. That being the case, they will exceed the 2.5 parking space requirement per unit. The 16-foot wide rear load units will have one-car garages with a full-depth driveway and will only provide two parking spaces per unit. The additional half a space requirement for each of those 16-foot wide rear load homes will be provided via surface parking that will be located along the roads within the development. A total of 271 surface parking spaces are currently shown on the plan. The combination of driveway spaces, garage spaces, and surface parking spaces shown on this plan as currently proposed is 2,234 parking spaces within the residential portion of the property. The retail portion of the site, as currently designed, generates a parking requirement of 313 parking spaces, and a total of 358 parking spaces are shown on this plan. Sidewalks are proposed throughout the development to provide connectivity between all the residential units and the amenity spaces, which I'll discuss a little later. The sidewalks will also provide connections to Sully Road, Tanyard Springs Lane, Green Acres Drive, and Marley Neck Boulevard. The open area requirement for the project is equal to 15% of the total site area, which is 16.41 acres. This site plan has approximately 51.3 acres of open space and 6 acres of open area, which in total is 57.3 acres, which is a little over 50% of the entire site. The active recreation requirement for this project, based on 350 square foot requirement per townhouse unit, is 6.72 acres. And this layout as designed includes about 4.6 acres minimum of active recreation area. That active recreation, I apologize, it's difficult to see from a distance. It's outlined in purple. There are multiple areas where active recreation is proposed throughout the development, to provide multiple active recreation opportunities and that are within, you know, proximity to all of the residents. These spaces, the developer intends to program these spaces with amenities in lieu of simply reserving land for future improvements by the Homeowners Association. In addition, there's a public activity space requirement for the retail component of the project that is equal to 10% of the gross square footage of those retail uses. Based on the 45,000 square foot retail use proposed, 4,500 square feet of public activity space would be required for those retail uses. Right now, 4,500 square feet of public activity space is proposed in those retail areas. In order to allow for the proposed development, portions of the existing woodland on site are proposed to be cleared. In addition, approximately 35 specimen trees are anticipated or may be removed, again, to allow for the development. Mitigation plantings on-site or off-site will be provided for removal of those specimen trees. Based on the current design, none of the other environmental features, including the wetlands or the floodplain, are anticipated to be impacted by this development proposal. This project will be served by public water and sewer. Water will be extended into the site from existing mains on Marley Neck Boulevard and Green Acres Drive and Sully Road. And they will be essentially within all of the roads to provide service to each of the individual units and to the retail. Sewer service will be extended from an existing manhole south of the site on Marley Neck Boulevard. We brought up Marley Neck Boulevard and brought into the site to serve the uses. The proposed limit of disturbance for this project is approximately 72.2 acres. Stormwater management will be provided on site in accordance with Anne Arundel County's stormwater management criteria, which includes environmental site design to the maximum extent practicable. There are multiple stormwater facilities that are denoted with these concentric circles throughout the site. There's hundreds of them for this project. The ESD facilities will include micro stormwater practices such as microbioretention facilities and bioswales, again, that'll be located throughout the development. These practices are small landscape depressions, very similar to a rain garden, that can handle runoff from small drainage areas that are around a 1/2 acre up to 1 acre. They're designed so that they hold water for no longer than 24 hours. The intent is that water will run overland into these facilities, filter through the filter media that's below grade. The plantings will absorb and treat that water. And then any of that water that's not taken up by the plantings will then infiltrate into the ground below. Any water that does not infiltrate into the facility will be captured into a storm drain system and then piped to an outfall location. Based on our initial calculations, peak management will be required for this site, and that's being addressed with 2 stormwater management ponds and 3 stilling basins, which are located at the near the wetlands and site outfalls here along the southern edge of the site. School-age children in this development will attend Northeast High School, Northeast Middle School, and Sully Elementary School. All 3 schools are currently open for enrollment. This project is required to address forest conservation requirements. The conservation threshold for this project being in the MXDN zone is 15%, which is equal to 15.7 acres. This current plan shows a retention area equal to 17.6 acres. Those areas are highlighted here in the darker green. In addition, we've highlighted, this is the floodplain that I discussed a little bit earlier. That area will also remain wooded, but we're not technically able to count it towards the forest conservation requirement, but it is another area on site that will remain wooded and undisturbed. The proposed clearing of the site of approximately 84.4 acres will result in a reforestation requirement of 39.4 acres. This reforestation requirement will be provided via a mix of on-site plantings, utilization of off-site forest banks, and other environmentally beneficial improvements on or off-site as approved by the county. This project could require multiple modifications, which I'll discuss now. There's a potential that we would need to file a private road modification to allow driveways less than 50 feet from a intersection. We could request a modification to reduce the landscape setback along Sully Road from 50 feet, which is the requirement for a freeway technically, down to 25 feet. We would also be submitting, potentially submitting a modification request to allow a forest conservation easement less than 35 feet wide, again, in order to get credit for some of those smaller forest conservation or retained forest areas. A modification to allow the project to be developed in phases. So we are, the intent is to submit one sketch plan, again, at the end of the month, but there will likely be up to six total separate final plan or site development plans for the retail and residential developments, but we would need to submit a modification to allow that phase development. We will be submitting a modification to allow forest clearing, which is mandatory for any site that is wooded and intends to clear over 20,000 square feet, which is about a half acre of forest. A modification to allow the removal of specimen trees. As mitigation for the removal of those specimen trees, we may include additional reforestation on site or off site, and or removal of invasive plant species on site or off site. And then finally, a modification to allow reduced active recreation land area based on providing higher value physical amenities such as a clubhouse, pool, and walking trails. So at this point, I'm going to turn it over to Steve, if you'd like to say anything about himself and or if I missed anything on the development proposal before I go into a little more detail about the review process and then the community meeting process.
Thanks. Thanks, Lynn. I'm going to first check the thermostat. Is it a little hot in here? It's
yes.
It's a little hot. It's a little warm. Let's see if this works. As Courtney mentioned, my name is Steve Warren. I'm with Elm Street Development. Thank you, Courtney, for the presentation. We are the developers of Retained Commons, is what the project's being called now. But we've been in this corridor for a number of years. We developed, some of you may know, that we developed Tanner Cove North. We also developed or developing Tanner Shores at the moment. And we have been sort of involved for the last, I'd say, about 15, 16 years in development activity in this corridor. So we're really familiar with the localized area. And one thing I do want to mention is I've had, as part of that involvement, countless community meetings. You guys should be applauded. This is the most well-attended meeting we've had so far. So it's great. You guys have interest. But every meeting we go to, that there are folks who ask questions. Typically, they ask a few questions about development, but most of them are centered on, when's my grocery store getting here? When are my services? When can I go get a sandwich at the corner? Pick up dry, you know, whatever it is. Because we've gotten a lot of residential development that's fantastic, but we haven't had the services there. And we have, over the years, been reaching out. We've talked to the grocers, we've talked to the smaller retailers, and we've tried to pull that in components of our projects. But the answer has always been there's not enough rooftops yet. Not enough folks living there. Good news is we are getting there in terms of what their requirements are. Each of the retailers have a different set of requirements in terms of access to the site, but mainly it starts the conversation with, if you draw a 1 mile and a 3 mile radius, how many people could I pull into my store? So the good news is that we are getting very close to that number, we think, and we're having much better conversations with retailers. It's still way too early for this to tell you exactly what's going to go there. But I can tell you that it's been positively received by the folks we have talked to. We've got a retail consultant on board now who's drawing up sort of a report for us to tell us what's more likely to be here and want to be here. So for right now, we have placeholders for the retail of, we think a daycare would be amazing. My wife and I have gone through that daycare process, and it's pretty sobering to show up to a daycare. They say it's 10 months out, 12 months out. You say, that's not how biology works. How do you know when you're going to have the need for a daycare? But so capacity for a daycare would be fantastic. We'd love to have a couple restaurant pads there as well, and some inline retail. But that sort of placeholder for now. But we think we have a good shot at getting that in. So in terms of the rooftops, what we are proposing are, this zone, it was rezoned earlier this year to mixed use. We've been working specifically on this property for 3 or 4 years with CSX. we sort of sat on the sidelines and watched the industrial guys come through and tried to pitch a couple industrial projects. We heard the feedback from the community on that. I'm sure some of you guys were involved in that process. And we said, look, that's not what they want. That's not what this corridor needs. That's not why we invested so much time and energy in this corridor. We think what should, on these properties should reflect and be consistent with what's there already. So what we've tried to do, there are a number of uses that are allowed in the mixed-use zone. What we've tried to do is present something or propose something that's very consistent with what is already there. So that's how we ended up with townhouses on the layout and the retail, of course, to support. So we went through the rezoning process. That's been done through comp rezoning. We had a number of meetings for that, a number of public opportunities to comment. Everyone seemed in favor of this, and as a result, it passed. So we are now at the stage where we are, as Courtney mentioned, drawing up the sketch plan. The sketch plan will go in. To give you a sense of timing, many of you may know, but once you submit a sketch plan, you're still 3 to 5 years from breaking ground. So we're sort of in the very early phases, and really the purpose of this meeting is to inform the community, but also, from my standpoint, get feedback so that we can then have a chance to incorporate things into the plan that we may not have thought of. We don't profess to know everything. So these forums are great to hear feedback, what you guys want. You know, if you've got strong ideas about what you want in terms of the non-residential, we'd love to hear that because that could guide our conversations outside of here. But really, any questions you have, we're here to either answer and give you the answer, or tell you I'll get back to you with an answer. And the conclusion of this, we'll take all the information, and then I think we'll send out minutes to everyone. It also documents the questions so that everyone who's not here has a chance to benefit from it as well. So with that, I'll turn over the floor.
We do questions, one other piece I have to say before I can officially put it back to the community. Just so everyone knows, this community meeting is being recorded, as I said. The recording will be uploaded tomorrow to the Anne Arundel County Community Meeting website, and that will begin a 14-day comment period. During that period, anyone can go onto the website, that community meeting website, and listen to the recording of tonight's meeting, and they can submit questions or comments via the website, or comments can be emailed to communitymeetingcomments@aacounty.org with the reference of Tanyard Commons. So once that 14-day comment period is closed, my company will prepare meeting minutes along with any other comments that were received during that period and responses to those comments. Those will be sent out to anybody who received the initial meeting notice mailing or signed up tonight. Once those minutes have been sent out, that is sort of the conclusion of the community meeting process, and at that point, the project can be submitted for that sketch plan review. So now, I would like to open it up for folks to ask questions.
Yes.
Okay, so I have a question about Marlena Boulevard specifically. Obviously, we all live in the area. We know that 800, 900 townhomes, Marlena Boulevard, is already I work from home, so luckily I don't have to sit in it, but right. When I do have to go to a doctor or wherever in the morning, it's impossible.
Right.
So I just, my concern is how are we dealing with traffic specifically along Marley Neck? We're adding 800. And I know 3 to 5 years, down the line, but I mean, it's already super congested.
Yeah, no, it's a good question. And we've heard this as well through the years, and as part of Tanyard Code North, we installed that traffic signal, which helped, and then we went to Tanyard Shores, and we actually asked the county if we could do a signal there as well, because the traffic, even between Tanyard Shores and Tanyard Springs and Cove, sort of picked up speed. So, we'll get you on that. So those two signals we installed, that's not necessarily going to help with this, but what we are doing, we have a traffic consultant on board who's in the process of They do all the traffic counts. They know exactly how much traffic's on the road. And then they look at the surrounding road network, making sure it still operates at an acceptable service. And it's not because I say it's acceptable. The county will use that report, and we'll either say yes or no. And if it's not acceptable, we then have to identify links in that chain to improve. For instance, for Tanager Cove North, we improved, some of you may have noticed, probably not, it's very sort of small, but that 648 and 648 Marlinet Boulevard, they widened and added a right turn lane about 8 years ago. We bought that right-of-way and dedicated to the county, and they constructed that improvement because we had to mitigate some more traffic issues. So that's just an example of what would happen. So if there's a pinch point, you know, at Solly, out to Fort Smallwood, or Tanager Springs residents getting out, that sort of thing, then you need to come to us to mitigate it.
And just to piggyback on that, fortunately, not all 800 of these units are going to Marley Neck Boulevard. There's two other connection points to Tanager Springs and Sully Road, so that traffic will be somewhat dispersed. And again, the traffic consultant is analyzing all of those road connections and potential improvements in the area to mitigate for that traffic.
And especially Tanager Springs Lane.
You asked that you're going to have a narrow side to the highway, so you will have a space for making it wider while an extra space in the street. So I don't think how you're going to resolve that if you're even making it narrow.
So. Yeah, we have to look at that. Yeah, we just don't have enough information yet. We're not far in one process, but once we get the traffic study back, it'll identify the deficiency.
Just to echo back, because I mean, I live in Tanager Springs. So that, while you're saying they're going, not everyone's going to go out green, whatever.
Green acres,
thank you. I was going to say green haven, but I know I was wrong. I'm going to say half, if not three quarters, of those homes are going to come out on either Solly or on Tanager Springs Lane. Those infrastructure upgrades have to. You guys have to look at this, in my opinion, and those infrastructure upgrades have to be done before those homes are built. Doing those upgrades after the homes are built doesn't help anyone. We need to be pro. It seems like lately, with construction, these infrastructure upgrades are being they're not proactive; they're reactive. And let's not think that way. Let's be proactive. Solve the problem before it's there, because you know it's going to happen there. You were mentioning, ma'am, about the road width. In Tanager Springs, I know for a fact that when Lennar built that community, there were some issues with what the plan said versus what the road width actually was. How stringent, if you're saying the road width is going to be X, is that going to be guaranteed to be X? Because that's going to help with on-street parking. And as we know in Tanager Springs, especially certain parts of Tanager Springs, the fire marshal is very particular about that width. If it's the same one that dealt with us, so I'm just trying to look forward to help this community.
Yeah, you have to have a 28-foot wide road at parking on one side, so that may be something to reference. So in terms of ensuring what's on the plans happens, anything that we construct is bonded before we can break ground. And that ensures that what has been approved gets built. And then also we have inspections for everything. So it's down to landscaping, stormwater devices, of course roads, and any sort of hardscape improvement. All gets inspected to make sure it is. And you can't get off our bond
until it's built.
Until
it's done. Right, yes.
And just to give you another step past, bonding is, from the developer, bonding is our lifeblood. If we can't get a bond, we can't.
Right.
So it's very important for us to make sure that we are doing what we're supposed to do so that we can get the bond back.
Just two other things. You said about 3,000, 2,500 to 3,000 parking spaces total, ballpark?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Between commercial and residential?
That sounds about accurate, yes.
And then you were mentioning, Mr. Horn, about the requirements for some of these retail places, namely grocery stores.
Right.
What is a base number of how many homes need to be in that 1 mile, 3 mile area that you have heard? Because, again, Tanager Springs was supposed to have retail.
Yeah.
We were supposed to have a grocery store. And that fell flat on its face because they said, no.
Yeah, we actually talked to a grocer that everyone knows the name of about that specific site. Because, you know, Lennar tried as well over the years, and we said,
Lennar lied a lot.
Okay.
Yeah,
you know,
I
can't speak to that, but I do know that we had it under contract at one point and tried to get a big grocer in there, and the number wasn't right for them. And I wish I could give you a number, but every different retail has a different number.
Ballpark, what are we looking at?
You know,
are we looking at a million homes in a 1 mile?
No.
I'm just pulling a number out. I know that's a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, what roughly, what are we looking
at? We're approaching right now, with all the developments, plus this, we're in the 4,000 to 5,000 range of homes. And that starts to get their attention.
That's including that small neighborhood that's south of Tatum Springs?
Riviera had 13,000 residents, and they only have one person.
Yeah,
we're nowhere near that.
Yeah, you know, I will tell you, in the most prime, we do a little bit of retail as well, and the most prime locations where you think everything should work, grocers are tough to get these days. They just, and usually when you get a big name grocer in, you sort of have to give it away so that they come in, and then you just rely on everything else that follows those guys. So it's a tough market.
I got a couple more
yes, sir.
Points out of here. I just found out about this entire project a couple of days ago. But one, I vehemently oppose this entire project. I don't want this here at all.
Okay.
Two, 846 homes or whatever the count was. It should be at least 400, no more. You guys have packed so many homes into that little thing. It's like stuffing a sardine can. It looks ridiculous. Because everyone knows, I used to live in a townhome with two car garages. Those are all one single road. Because everyone parks on the street. People have more than two cars. They don't use their parking spots in their driveway. I mean, if you've ever been in one, you know that's true. And so there's no way that's sustainable to have all those streets. The third, I live in Tanger Cove, and the backyard goes into the boatyard, which is directly across from all that retail space you want to put on Marley. So now I'm going to have to look at commercial buildings that I didn't have or was not when I purchased my home. And three, you've sentenced us to years of horrible construction, because from the easternmost entrance exit of Tanger Cove and Marley all the way to Fort Smallwood, that is just a construction nightmare. That road is terrible. Although
yep.
You guys have paved it over the last couple of weeks, it's much better than it's been. It's just going to get all tore up again when you do that construction. And lastly, the Royal Farms is the beginning of Baltimore City, and that infrastructure and streets are terrible. And so that's not a rural county, so we are going to continue to have crappy roads and infrastructure over there. And what is the county doing about that as well? Because all those cars, everyone goes there, and that's the one way to leave. That's the one egress everyone takes. Some people do go west on Marley out to Route 2, but
yeah.
That is, by and large, everyone goes that way.
Got it. First of all, I respect your opinion. Thank you for the comment. In terms of density, the allowable density here could be far, far worse. So it's approximately 1,500 homes allowed, so we're almost 50% of that. And you wouldn't get to 1,500 with townhomes. You would have multifamily.
It should just be single-family homes, no townhomes. Way less traffic.
Okay. And then parking, a lot of these, the majority of these are actually rear loaded. You have a wider driveway, and I'm not going to argue that people park where they're supposed to because they don't. You're right. Wider driveway that provides essentially about one guest spot per unit that you couldn't have in a front-loaded townhouse, which most are. And we also will include in our HOA documents, like we did for Tanner Cove, if it's not being enforced, you should talk to the board and tell them to enforce it. And we did in Tanner Shores as well, where, and some folks might not want to hear this, but a requirement that you have to use your garage for parking. And if you don't, there's not an amount of parking you can provide and still respect the environment with the impervious surface. If people don't use their garages. So it's an ongoing problem, but unfortunately you just can't lay down the
you have less
to satisfy people who have three cars and don't use their garage.
How many overflow lines?
When you say restaurant pad, are we talking like a 7-Eleven and a McDonald's and a Burger King or like a KFC? Or
no,
are we talking like a full-fledged, you know?
I'm not in a position to promise anything.
No, I'm just saying, like,
when I envision restaurant, Pat, I mean like a sit-down restaurant, such as like a Mission Barbecue or...
not fast food.
Right.
Yeah, not fast food.
Yeah. And then the other thing is like, so what? I guess what is the reasoning or thought behind, like, why not make a development which is single family homes? I mean, it's like it's almost a you know, overbuilding this corridor. I mean, extremely overbuilding.
I think we've already put 3-4 communities in here that are mainly
homes. Well, the fact remains that we are very underserved in terms of housing. So there are more people looking for a house than there are houses to buy. So what that does is it drives land prices up. And it also creates a situation where a lot of folks can't buy in the county at all because...
Well, I mean, to your point, though, you said you want to break ground for 3 to 5 years. Housing market takes a tank. I mean...
Yeah, that's our business, unfortunately. If it gets better, it's great. If it, you know, it goes down, you have to suffer through that, too. So.
Yeah, but then you oversaturate the market and our housing prices go down.
Yeah, ours is probably dropped.
I can tell you we're on the same page in terms of we would not develop a product we didn't think we could sell. Go back to the first point. More rooftops means a better chance to get the services that most folks are looking for. So,
I mean, we have all that within 5 miles. I mean,
okay, I just relaying what I'm saying. That's all.
And then, lastly, I'm sorry to interrupt, but that for that potential commercial restaurants and stuff right here on Martin, and commercial space, is there going to be another traffic light right there? Because that's like right at the entrance, exit of the pool. Like, that would be unbearable to have a traffic light right there. So close, especially before it's
morning.
How about a giant traffic circle?
I really would doubt there'd be another one just because it's so close.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Okay, so directly across from like the new section of Tanger Cove, I guess you're calling it like Tanger Cove, like north.
Okay. Like there's like that's being developed right now.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, directly like across from that, they just took out like a bunch of trees. I don't know, I guess for like another town or community, but like if you're saying where like, I just can't picture like where this like retail restaurant,
it's south of what you're thinking.
So is this the color?
It starts right next to Green Acres.
So.
Is it closer
to
like Fort Smallwood?
So this is Tanger Cove North, the second entrance, right here.
Okay. All right.
And so, and the main entrance is down here.
Okay, so it's closer to Tanger.
To
the side. That's by the boatyard right there.
Yeah.
But that's where you want
to go.
That's the other way. That's the land that was just cleared the last
week. God, it's close. It's a different area.
Okay.
It's south. Is that Fitch you drive?
I'm sorry?
Does that fit you?
Yes. Yeah.
It's just a sales tactic.
So
it's here.
So it's just a different construction project. We're going to build those, right?
It's not large.
That and then the...
But you said the...
Is that where the haunted house is?
Kid, no. You're a solid elementary school.
That's down here.
So I'm curiosity. So I live in Tanger Springs.
All right, guys.
Yeah, let's rein in so we can take turns.
Five or six homes that had to be delayed built there until they expanded solid.
Right.
And they expanded solid by putting in a few of those portable school
buildings.
How in the hell are you going to get homes, 836 homes, students going to that school?
So
there's obviously not 836 that are going to have elementary school kids, but how do you figure out the number that they're expecting? You know,
so,
and where are you putting them?
To answer your last question, there's a factor that the county uses for each unit. Each house, there's X kids, and it could be 1.1 kids or 1.2, whatever, 0.7. So, and we don't make any decisions about school capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So, if this were to go through, sketch plan takes you through not only the initial design and concept, but it also tests adequate public facilities, roads, public safety, schools, stormwater. So, if any of those tests fail, we can't proceed.
Okay.
So if schools in particular, if you go through sketch and they test and they say there's no more seats left, you go on a wait list in our own county. And you have to be on that wait list.
So you can't start any of this until...
Can't do anything.
Just like the last 5 homes.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That was all part of the sketch plan, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure it was.
And they were able to build all of that area minus those 5 homes.
Yeah.
So more than likely, they probably did a phased approach like you were talking about, potentially having to submit a modification request for.
No, so if there were 5 left, like in Cannon Shores, we also had a similar situation. Schools closed. In Anne Arundel County, you go, if you have, say you have 10 units you're trying to get through, it's all or nothing for the most part in that phase that you're applying for.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you would do this in phases, instead of all doing it all at once, you could build X number of homes and then be stopped because...
That's a possibility.
Okay.
Yes. And the county, you go on a wait list. And it's a 6-year wait list. And the notion behind that, again, I didn't write the code, but the notion behind that is that gives the county time to plan for those capacity needs.
Well, there's supposed to be a school at some point going into Tampa.
Right.
That's
so there's
not planned in the next 5 years.
Of course it's not.
There is a hand up in the back pocket.
Yeah, he's been waiting a while.
Yes.
Oh, I've been this for a while. So what's your plan B and plan C for the retail? Because we know that things come through with their plans. So, I mean, it looks cool, but what's plan B and what is plan C?
So it's time, to be honest. I wish I could tell you that I've got all the retailers, you know, knocking down our door to do this, but we don't at the moment. Mm-hmm. But the fact remains that this is mixed-use zoning, so we have to do another use. So the code, I couldn't do all townhomes. I couldn't say, well, let's erase the retail and just do townhomes. So what we would like to do is, plan A, obviously, is people are interested, we get them in day one, and sooner rather than later, they start the retail. If that doesn't work, it's time, and we have to wait it out. That's the risk that we take. And again, our bonds are up, and so all the infrastructure, we're not going anywhere. We've been in this portal forever, so time is sometimes the only thing that solves things.
I'm just curious, I know again, like talking about like retail, what, I know that you said like certain grocery stores have to have like X amount of homes.
Yeah.
Have you talked to like specific, like, I'm just wondering who, like, you've spoken to who've said, like, all right, like, we're going to pass versus now they're saying, okay, like, maybe.
I'm not in a position, I know it's not like a promise. Yeah, I mean, I'm not in
a
position to name any names. Those are all conversations that happen.
Are we talking about
time,
big groceries? Big name groceries? Are we talking about small groceries?
That we know the name.
I know a lot. Like.
So years ago, it was capital G. Passed actually a number of times, and we talked to their competitors as well.
Giant.
Giant.
Secret sound. He didn't say it.
So, all the folks that you guys are thinking of, we would be. And again, we've got a retail city dealing with guys who do this every day. And they're going to tell us, sort of, these are the buckets of types of services that you can expect to want to be there. And these are the top candidates. And we will start talking to those guys. Yeah.
Switching gears to schools again. School bus turnarounds has been a point of contention for a lot of, ever since the beginning of Tanya Spring,
probably
the neighborhoods. We had a really great thing going, and now we got a park going in there, and it's, you know, kind of gummed up.
Right.
What considerations at all have you given for new development for potential school bus turnarounds? I mean, you only really need whoever's going to live here, but one of those great amenities that you're thinking about, are you considering, or just for whatever?
So, back up one step. Townhomes in Anne Arundel County are all on private streets.
Mm-hmm.
What the school board will tell you is that we don't drive buses down private streets.
Correct. That's
which
wrong.
Which is wrong. Yeah.
It doesn't always happen that way. That's what they'll tell you. So my official answer to you would be, we've got 3 right now, proposed entrances that front on public streets. So at the moment, if I had to say schools, where would you put the bus stops? They would say one or more on Marley Neck, Tanner Springs.
Which is going to gum up your, which is going to, your traffic nightmares is going to increase.
Yep.
Okay.
One, I don't want this coming into our neighborhood. Our value's going to drop. Crime's going to go up. Traffic's going to be horrible. School's going to get overcrowded no matter what y'all say. We know this. Also, for the restaurant, retail section, we can't even get anybody to replace the Wendy's on Fort Mulder Drive.
Good point.
that's been abandoned for many years. They just packed up and left. So, Riviera Beach, they have an estimate around 13,000 people just there. And they only got that one small grocery store. So, if you said all the development so far is about 5,000, maybe even a high 7. So,
I mean, I'm not saying people, I'm saying households.
Okay, households. So, still, that ain't even near amount of people over towards that little grocery store that's Fort Smaller Drive. So I honestly believe, just like the builders of Tanner Springs told people whenever they bought the house, y'all gonna have a retail here. Everybody signed up to bought a house.
Yeah.
So it's completely lied to. So honestly, this is another sales tactic to get people in all for this to buy, and then down the road it's gonna just slowly evaporate and get off the plan. But if this does go into plan, instead of this fairy tale retail, why don't they build a nice, very nice storage unit for the owner, for the resident? Even at a discount, or especially if it's going to be an HOA, part of the HOA. People love to have somewhere to store boats, RVs. I found that hasn't been brought into it.
So we believe, it's our belief, and that's all it is, that retail is more consistent with the look, the feel, and the use of that small market. You mentioned Fort Smallwood. That's from a retailer's perspective, that's an entirely different block. Once you're inside here, this is central to Marley Neck Boulevard. So you've got Tanner Cove North with 550 homes. You've got Tanner Shores with over 1,000. You've got Creekside with over 1,000. You've got Tanner Springs with, I think, 1,200. And all of that is walking distance. I doubt many people walk to that old Fort Smallwood Wendy's for the first part. So I get it. I understand your skepticism. I'd be skeptical too. You guys may have been told things in the past that weren't followed through on. I'm not here to promise anything. What I am here to say is that I think we've got a darn good shot of producing this plan. That includes retail that you guys would like. And it's sort of our high on the line to make that work, and we're committed to do it. So, but again, I get it. You guys have probably been disappointed over the years in how that evolved, and I apologize for that, but we think we've got a good shot at this.
Yeah. So, question. I know we're not voting. Why does this not have 55 and older in it? Sprinkled in it?
It does.
Do you think
not.
That's something that actually benefits a lot of the area?
And yeah, so we're doing 55 plus in Tanner Shores.
And
how's
it going?
Sorry?
How is that going?
It's going really well.
Okay. Well, why isn't that considered for this stuff?
Because schools are open, and we have, there's far more demand on a proportionate basis for market rate housing than there is for active adult.
I mean, I think you could probably get people to come out here for something like Two Rivers. Going to get you guys more bang for your buck, unfortunately, so we're going to solve it. Okay, that's all I have to say.
Thank you for coming. Yeah.
I just
one other question about that development. Like, as you move further north, closer to the power plants, like, I mean...
Brandon Short.
Yeah, Brandon Short and Wagner, they're both back there, as well as Cox Creek.
Yeah.
I mean, that row of homes that's closest there, I mean, like, people already complain about noise. So is there, like, any, like, noise abatement plans for that neighborhood or anything? I mean, because you consistently keep on getting closer and closer to those power plants.
No, there's not noise abatement per se. I will say that there is...
Because you're also knocking down a whole bunch of woods that actually, you know, mitigates that noise, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Brandon Shores is slated for decommissioning.
They got extended another year.
Well, I know they did.
They're not going
to. But it eventually will happen.
No, I mean, I work in that industry, and I can tell you about power plant with AI and the way AI is growing in the data centers in Northern Virginia, that there's probably no plans to shut those plants down for another 10 years.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, Doc. Yeah. Hey, sure. Sure, Peter. Yes, sir.
Speaking of the woods, I live in the southeast quadrant, right in the property line from Common to Carlton. And
down here?
Yeah. So, and I became accustomed to looking out when you see the trees in the woods, and I started bird watching. And there's a lot of woods in Carlton, and I know they're not in danger. My question is there going to be a buffer? Because on those plants, you can't really see.
Yeah.
Is there going to be a buffer? Am I still going to have trees back there, or am I just look out and see?
So this is still fairly fluid, but this green area is a strip of what we're envisioning as Forestcom save area. So the trees would stay.
I'm more to the east, but like the second row.
Here.
So can I come up?
Yeah, come on up.
This the new, right?
This is Tanner Springs Land, Solly. And this is Tanner Springs existing homes.
Okay, so I'm right here. So is that, that's not going to be trees or anything. So y'all getting, what is that going to be right there? What am I going to be looking
at?
So
this is envisioned being an open space.
Yeah, so right now there, it's even though it's not green, it's actually, there's no wood, right now there's no woods. Based on our tree assessment, there's no woods here today in this particular corner.
What
intersection
are you looking at?
It's not at an intersection. It's
what area?
So
off Pawtney Lane. Yeah, there's trees.
Yeah. No, there's Forestcom behind here.
Yes.
Behind your house.
Correct.
That's not green here on this plant.
Okay,
so your houses are about 30 feet thereabouts to the property line.
Mm-hmm.
We're now envisioning our units to be about 50 or so feet off, and including this Forestcom save area.
So.
But it doesn't have any impact on what you're seeing behind, directly behind your house, so that will all stay.
There'll be trees there, but it'll be probably thinner.
Okay.
Yeah.
Something else you're not seeing on this plan is landscaping, the proposed landscaping that will be required to be planted in conjunction with this. So this is just retained existing woods.
Yeah.
One more thing. So when do y'all plan on having all the trees and brush cleared? I see they already starting already. When will all those
for this?
Yeah.
No, this is
that's for another area.
This is years out.
Okay, so y'all are going to be clear no time soon?
No, we're at least 3 years out.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's the projected impact on emergency services?
That'll all be tested with the sketch plan at every public facility. So that's all. The county does those tests and gets back to us and says either passive or fails.
Is there a requirement for you, kind of like old school things, to increase the size of a firehouse, like Orchard Beach or anything like that, if it isn't working when you've got it?
We have not done that in the past. We have not had that come up. But if that's what the county says, then we have to abide by what the county says when it comes to adequate public. So we don't drive that ship in any way, shape, or form.
Just to echo some other people's opinions, I'm against this as well, for whatever my opinion matters in this whole ordeal. But just like what you've done, just trying to help the community out, maybe, because we've had the issue in Tanger Springs before with boats and trailers.
Yeah.
You guys built an area over, I guess, at Tanger Cove North.
Yep.
Are you guys planning on putting anything over here for this community? Because I guarantee you there's going to be...
No, and these are all private streets, so any boat would get towed immediately.
So they'll just park them on Tanger Springs Lane,
which is county, yes.
Well, we don't have any governance.
So where that is in Tanger Road North, that's a county roadway? You guys have a big parking lot. And that,
it's a private parking lot.
Yeah.
But you guys built that, right?
We did.
So he's asking you guys gonna do something.
So I'm asking you guys, why haven't you guys looked at that?
Because Tanner Cove North is a waterfront community with a marina.
Okay.
This is across the street.
Most
of my questions have been asked and answered, so I appreciate it.
Sure.
You had mentioned something about you made adjustments or recommendations for traffic lights north and south.
Right.
And it made me think of, I would get this wrong, where Marley Neck Road and Marley Neck Boulevard intersect, and that's just usually a nightmare, especially if you're going away from Fort Smallwood when someone's making a right turn. I know that it's kind of separate and not really related to this, but that's something I'd like consideration, is to have some kind of at least a deceleration lane so people aren't just stopping on a 50-mile-an-hour road to make a right turn and freaking everybody out.
Right, okay. Yeah, let me make a note. That's a whole separate traffic study,
actually,
of course.
I think that's actually being addressed in the larger county development plan that the county actually sponsored, and how the GIS software was able to open and available for people to comment on it. I think one of the feedback that they got from that was we're going to consider putting in a right-hand turn lane, like you said, for that, and also potentially a stoplight if I read the results correctly. But yeah, the county's already got their big IRS.
I mean, I figured I could have the first one to think about that.
Right, that is a very bad intersection.
Just one other question or like suggestion, but where is borders Tanger Springs Lane?
Yeah.
Like where those homes would be visible, like I said, you're permitted to build up to 96 feet tall. Is there any plans of keeping potentially
those homes,
those, you know, trees there? You know what I mean? So it maintains a, a buffer between our neighborhood and their neighborhood, rather than just staring at.
Yeah, right there, Steve.
Yeah. So to the extent that we can save, we will. What I will tell you is that these are our rear loaded. So you're not seeing the backs of townhomes; you're seeing the front. I'm gonna break that.
Yeah. Yeah. So we would see the front of them from Tanger Springs Lane, basically. Right. They would face outward towards Tanger Springs Lane.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Right. And basically, they would just have the sidewalk there. Basically right in front of their house.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is there a clubhouse and pool?
Yeah, I should mention. So this center, this is 2.5 acres.
Oh, okay.
We have not designed a clubhouse, but there's going to be a clubhouse and a pool and an amphitheater probably. Other things that have not yet been programmed. But yeah. So there's a central amenity. And then each of these significant open spaces as well are all going to be programmed with fences, hardscapes, trails, everything's connected.
What's the next year's?
So, community meetings required
before the initial.
Before you submit sketch, and then after you submit final. And then any, we ask for a modification to the county code for an environmental reason, impacting the stream. We also have community meetings for each of those. So at a minimum, you'll see a notice for a final plan, which will hopefully be in about 18 months.
Are we planning basketball courts anywhere?
Not currently planned, no.
Please?
Speaking of recreation, trail system is something worthwhile to consider. I know there's a lot of folks here that use the trail and Canyon Springs and whatnot. And I wish they would have connected it to Creekside. They got along Marty Mack. That would have been great for them to do, but a lot of folks in the communities like to be able to get out and about and go to the different communities. That trail system is fantastic, not just for walkers, but for runners and families and whatnot.
Yeah.
They haven't already programmed that in, really worthwhile to consider.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, and we agree. So what we are formulating now, each of these green areas are wetland complexes, but they have, we're sort of positioning a lot of our open spaces up against those so that, A, if there's no buildings, it's less intense. But also, each of these will be connected with trails, so you'll have more of like a hiker biker trail sort of inside of these, not inside the wetland, but on the perimeter of them, and then connected with sidewalks. So the idea is that we create a loop system. You know, Tanner Shores, we've got a 5+ mile loop through the woods. Here, we're not going to have that sort of scenic waterfront area, but we would also like to do an exercise loop that you could, it'll be a trailhead, and you head from one wetland complex to another, and hopefully it'll add up to something significant, so you walk a few miles. Yeah.
The homes that are south of Tanger Springs Lane.
Yes.
Just looking at the map, how close are those homes going to be to Conrad Benning construction? Because they look fairly close.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
I would not want to live there. I'm just saying. So, someone mentioned about noise abatement from Painted Springs to Painted Commons. Is there going to be any such thing between the construction company and those homes?
Not noise abatement, but the answer is yes to your question. So he is next door, so he's a neighbor. I will say that some of the stuff may be a little bit closer than, well, let's see.
If it's closed, I would highly recommend you guys put in a noise abatement. Something, a 6-foot fence, something to block
yeah,
some
I'm
of
sure
that.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll put a fence in, but nothing like a sound wall or anything like that.
Yeah, it's not that loud.
Have a lot of species there, deer.
Yes.
Dead migration.
Yeah. So we've done the environmental studies. There are no rare threatened and endangered species. There are.
Who cares if they are endangered? At the rate that you are going, soon we'll be endangered.
Well, I was answering your question whether or not they existed, and I'm telling you they don't exist on site. So on that, is there a follow up?
Yeah. Already we've got yes. You're on Tanger Springs Lane, the proposed four-way intersection guard there. Given the density, yeah, right there. Given the density and whatnot, and everybody else that uses that lane, that Tanger Springs Lane, there are also not from our. You thought about a traffic circle.
You know, that's going to be up to the county.
We
can certainly talk to them about it, but they would make that decision given it's an existing public road. So, if they said, look, that's what we want there, that's part of your mitigation, we would then have to build it.
So, how much pressure do you have on that? And I ask that by saying, Canyon Springs Lane is almost a freeway sometimes,
yeah.
Right, with the speeds.
Yeah, okay.
And neighbors throughout the years have gone to the county and also in these meetings, developer meetings that we're having tonight, and have advocated speed humps has been one thing, but the fire department has said, no, it's bad for our equipment and
right.
Bad for emergency services. Lennar came back and flat out said, we can't put speed humps on the road because it's a county road. I can show you 2 county roads within 3 miles of us right now that have speed humps on them, right? At one point, on Heritage Crossing, the county came in and did a speed survey where they installed a temporary island in the middle of the road to see whether or not it would slow down speed. It actually caused a car wreck, if I'm not
okay.
Mistaken. One of the cars swerved and hit a tree or something like
that.
So, I mean, aesthetics as well as safety.
Mm-hmm.
How much leeway or leverage do you as a developer have on the county for something like a traffic circle?
Or a traffic light?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, sort of the blanket answer to your question, and I'll give you some more context, is we don't have leverage on the county. We are an applicant. So the county drives that bus, we propose things, and they have to be in accordance with their guidelines. What I will say, though, is that this specific area is high up on my list of things to talk about with them because at a minimum, we have to ensure that our residents can cross back and forth safely. So that will be a part of the conversation. It'll be part of our study, and we'll make sure that that works. And maybe that ends up, you know, sometimes, you know, at a minimum, it could be skylights or, you know, you've seen the flashing lights. People hit a button and it flashes, and then you cross.
Like a pedestrian.
So I imagine something like that would help slow down traffic, but I don't know the answer to it yet. But I can tell you that it's important to us to make sure that there is cross traffic safely from a pedestrian standpoint.
I would recommend the traffic light there. It would help with, one, it would help with the speeds on Tanger Springs Lane, ideally, and would help you have your residents go across that street safely.
Yeah, I mean,
with
we'll
the crosswalk.
We'll look at it, but. You have to pass. You have to pass warrants. In other words, they don't just allow you to put signals in. You have to demonstrate the need, and the need is then judged by the county.
I think they have that data. They've done like this gentleman said. They've done numerous traffic studies on TS Lane.
Yeah.
You gotta remember, we've asked them for years about stuff on Heritage Cross, and then the county came back and said, "You can do it, but the community's got to pay for it."
Or like half of it, yeah.
And the board would never move forward with it.
So.
So just real quick, why not, just out of curiosity to expand on their points here, but where you have the four-way there on Tanger Springs Lane, and then also where you have the entrance to your community there off of, what is that, Green Acres, why not have like some, you know, adjust your design a little bit to allow two county roads in that intersect together, and then you can have a bus stop within your community, and then out of your community, and all, you know what I mean, like, or maybe a T design where the four way, the one road goes into your neighborhood, but then has a cut through it at the top there.
Here?
Much like Tanger Springs.
So there's an alternate design that we've been considering. We're going to talk to the county about, but we have not. We didn't want to put this in the initial submittal because we just haven't had discussions.
It's just, you know.
But we think an alternate scenario that sounds reasonable to us. We'll see if anyone else thinks so, is to realign Green Acres so that this is a straight in and it connects with this road.
Right.
And it squares off this parcel and eliminates this curve right off Marley Neck. So that's on the list to talk to them about whether or not they think that's a good idea as well. If it is, we'll pursue it.
Is it county or a developer that built the, or the building, the park?
County.
Kind of a coincidence. They build a big, huge park, and then y'all all of a sudden want to build this big, huge neighborhood. Because there's already a park next to the fire station.
And next to adjacent right to that.
We've had that fight.
Yeah, I missed that one. So
yeah, we don't have any
of
the
park.
So the Tanger Springs Park is basically a placeholder until the years from now when they build the elementary school.
Not the whole thing. Park is staying.
Right, but the whole property will not be a park like it's going to be now.
You mentioned earlier on about their potential historical impact. What it is?
There's not potential. We've done an archaeological survey. And that is recommended that we do further shovel test pits in certain areas of the site because there's it appears there may be some evidence, not really compelling, but it doesn't appear to be any significant resources. However, all of the projects we go through generally recommend a series of shovel test pits to see if there's any artifacts. And if there is, all those artifacts get collected and then the county, we deliver to the county. Them or show them, depending on the significance. So the initial study's been done. It said what they think our consultant says we should further look at. The county will then read that and say either we agree or we need to expand it.
Okay. But you don't know what type of information the county.
To clarify, the statement I made was that there are historical resources in the vicinity of the property. Most of the ones that were identified were historic cemeteries. So there is a potential that there's some historic artifacts potentially on site, but nothing was actually identified on site. just that because of the proximity of these other historic resources, there's a potential for historic resources to be on site.
Nothing's found on site. As Courtney mentioned, for instance, Standard Shores has documented and we did shell test bits for those and have artifacts in the county. We had some artifacts that we found too on Tanager North. Nothing we found has been, at least according to folks who are in that business, I'm not on the talk, but nothing of significance is what I've been told, and it's mainly a pottery, pieces of pottery from the, and a lot of those were because of Canada Cove and Marlow Creek, because the Native Americans all often had camps right next to the water. But we can certainly share more of that information that the final plan meeting, because we will have the county's input on that before that, and we'll likely do the study.
So the final plan meeting, will that have the traffic mitigations you guys do and all the findings from?
It will, yeah. So all the APF adequate public facilities is tested at the end of sketch plan. So if we have a final plan submittal meeting, we will have the results of all of that.
And you said about 18 months from when you submit it?
Yeah. Okay. So about a year and a half or so, we should. Year and a half to 2 years for the final plan.
Would the county at that point be represented at the meeting as well? So questions would be asked that the county would have to answer, i.e. police, fire, things like that?
They, as a rule, they do not attend community meetings. I think sometimes the council members will send their, either they will show up or they'll send a representative sometimes, but typically planning and zoning does not attend. Not at us, though.
They're invited.
Yeah, they are. They know exactly.
So I don't want to discourage any more questions, but we are coming to the end of our time in this room. Are there any final questions before we wrap up?
Would you be the map detail available on the website?
So there is a plan that was uploaded on the community meeting website when we sent out the initial notice, but no, these will not be uploaded.
That one, if you flip, Mr. Horn, is it, which one did you have that had the colors? Did one of them, when you walked in, have the colors? So
was,
that one is uploaded on.
Yes, that one with the how the unit types.
Yeah,
right.
It's on the website. Yeah.
That was a slightly different layout, but very similar.
It was that one pretty much with just a color code.
Right. There's some minor tweaks that have happened since that one was created.
Okay.
But yes, that's the only plan. There's not really a mechanism for us to submit these plans to the county to put on the website, but the meeting, the recording of this meeting, will be available. And after the plans are submitted, they'll be available for the public Freedom of Information Act to.
Are you involved in the HOA, Cambridge Springs?
No.
Okay. I'm in this area all the time, so I'll give you my information if you want to sit down. If anyone wants, I offer to everyone. If you guys ever have questions in between meetings, you don't have to wait. You can email us, send me or text me, call me, whatever. We're an open book. We don't always have all the answers, but we try to give the information we do have. But I always encourage, don't wait until the next meeting. I say this to my HOA members, don't wait until the next one, because you're going to just be angrier if something went wrong today. Let's solve it today rather than you wait. So I don't have cards on me, but if anyone wants to write down my email, I'll give it to you now.
It's on the county website, too.
So we develop.
God's sake, don't choose Bernard.
You really don't.
I hear it. Noted. We do the horizontal infrastructure and like more common.
Wow, okay.
And then we sell the lots. Like a Bernard.
Question in the back?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
All right, well, if there are no other questions, I'm going to formally adjourn the meeting. It is 7:19. Thank you, everybody, for coming out. We appreciate your time. Have a great night.
Thank you.